The Jets have big expectations in 2023, and they will need to lean on their strengths to meet those expectations. Today we're going to break down the strongest parts of the Jets roster, corner, pass rush, and go-to guys ahead on the Locked On Jets podcast.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome. This is the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It's Friday, May 19th, 2023, and I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. Thanking you for making this show your first listen or first watch every day. You can subscribe to this podcast for free on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. If you're listening to the show, please give it a five-star review wherever you are doing the listening. If you're watching on YouTube, give this episode a big thumbs up. These things help us out and help other Jets fans find Locked On Jets. Well, my fellow Jets fans, the Jets will enter the 2023 season, perhaps their most anticipated season since the Rex Ryan days. Fans have big expectations for this team. People are dreaming of playoffs. People are dreaming of Super Bowl. And this Jets roster has some pretty pronounced strengths, and the Jets will need to lean on these strengths if they're going to have a successful season. So today we're going to talk about what the Jets are built around. And I'm not going to talk about Aaron Rodgers because I think that's kind of self-explanatory. We talk about Aaron Rodgers a lot. We will talk about Aaron Rodgers a lot heading into the season. So let's just take Aaron Rodgers as a given right now. Jets have a quarterback who's going to be a Hall of Famer. He still will hopefully be a top 10 type quarterback this season. And that gives you a chance. That gives you, at least gives you a fighting chance every game that you play. But you need more than a quarterback. And the Jets have built some pretty pronounced strengths on this roster. So let's jump in. And I think, to me, the biggest strength, if we get away from quarterback, is this group of corners on the other side of the ball. I think on the defensive side of the ball, even though I believe Robert Saleh prioritizes defensive line play over corner play, and the reason I say that is Saleh's first season, they really did nothing at corner, and they really focused on the defensive line. They did not really look to upgrade corner until Saleh's second season. So that tells me that Saleh believes in the defensive line first. But I think corner is the strongest spot on this roster. I think the Jets have one of the best corner groups in the league. I think you could argue this is the best corner group in the league. And if it's not, then it's not that far off. With Sauce Gardner, who obviously had a stellar rookie season and won Defensive Rookie of the Year. DJ Reed on the outside, maybe the best number two corner in the league. A guy who would be number one corner on a lot of teams, and then even Michael Carter II in the slot. You know, Football Outsiders is a great statistical website. They have this metric called DVOA. Essentially what it does is it's an attempt to contextualize how effective a player or a team is. And what they do is they base it on game situations. So they don't give you credit if, like, you run for 12 yards on 3rd and 20, because that's not really a productive play for you. They do give you credit if you get 2 yards on 3rd and 1. And so because they're essentially trying to figure out what's successful and what's not. Because sometimes the stats don't tell you that. You know, if you just looked at the stats, the back who ran for 12 yards on 3rd and 20 is going to look more successful than the back who ran for 2 yards on 3rd and 1. But obviously one of these guys did his job much better than the other. It's the guy with the lower statistics. So they try and contextualize things like that. They also try and adjust things based on the quality of your opponent. And in this DVOA metric, they also kind of break things down, offense, defense, and they also break down run defense versus pass defense. So they have a very interesting page where they tell you how each defense did against another team's number one receiver, their number two receiver, tight ends, running backs, and then receivers lower on the hierarchy. And the Jets last year, according to Football Outsiders, they were the fifth best team in the NFL against opponent's number one receivers. They were the sixth best team against opponent number two receivers. So that's Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed right there. And the Philadelphia Eagles were the only team to be in the top six against the opponents, both number one and number two receivers. If you go down lower on the hierarchy, the Jets were number 17 against receivers 3 and below. So there were only 4 other teams that were top 17 against the number one receivers, the number two receivers, and then receivers 3 and below. There were the Jets, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Denver. So you can, this is a pretty complete coverage group as far as the corners go. Now, the Jets, I think, have a few more issues when you're talking about playing tight ends and playing running backs. The linebackers and safeties are not really great cover guys. And even with the addition of Chuck Clark, I'm not sure that improves things all that much as far as coverage goes. But this is a league where most of the really good targets are at the wide receiver position. You'll run into a matchup here or there, you know, Kansas City with Travis Kelce, where you really need to figure out a way to stop the tight end. But most other teams run their offense through wide receivers. So if you can shut down other teams' wide receivers, you're probably going to have a really good chance to stop their passing game. And the Jets do that, again, as well as anybody. One of only two teams to have a top six rating against opponents' number one and number two receivers. One of only four teams to be top 17 against the entire group of receivers opponents have. So it shows you that they've got quite a bit of ability at the corner position. And one of the reasons I said earlier that I think corner is more valuable than defensive line, I think Robert Saleh kind of flips the two. Robert Saleh kind of values defensive line more than corner based on the way the Jets have built their team. But they're the two most important parts of any defense, or most defenses at least. And the reason for that is a passing league. So you got to be able to get to the quarterback, and you got to be able to cover guys in the back in the back of your defense. Today's NFL, I don't think there's any doubt about it. The league tries to benefit passing games as much as possible. The league views it as a good thing for ratings. They like to have star quarterbacks succeeding. And if you look at the trajectory of the way the rules have been enforced through the years, it's become easier and easier to pass as time has gone on in the NFL. They enforce some very strict penalties against defensive backs. So the reason having a shutdown corner or two is valuable is that there aren't that many who can still shut down the opposing receivers in this day and age with the rules that they have to deal with. So when you have two of them in Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed, and then a solid guy in the slot, it gives your team a big advantage. I think another thing that helps the Jets out, maybe not as much as some of the other stuff I'm mentioning, but the fact that you have two guys you can trust on the outside, it adds flexibility to your defensive scheme. And what I mean by that is, if you only had one good corner, and this was kind of where the Jets were in 2009 with Darrelle Revis before they had Antonio Cromartie, you kind of have to you have to consider allowing him to follow the other team's number one receiver, whether he goes left or whether he goes right, as the opponent breaks the huddle. And that can kind of tip your hand, because if you see that a corner's following a receiver around, it's kind of an indication that the other team might be in man-to-man coverage. Whereas if you can just put one guy on the left side and one guy on the right side, you're not really tipping your hand as much, because you could just be taking the guy who comes to his side in man, but you could also just be playing zone on his side. And the fact that Jets are able to do this, I think it adds a little bit to their defensive scheme. I think it adds a little bit of complexity. Now, I don't think the Jets' defense is overly complex. Robert Saleh is a guy he's even said it, he believes in keeping things simple because he wants his guys to be able to know intuitively what they need to do. And if you don't flood the zone, if you don't have a ton of play calls, then guys essentially run the same thing over and over, and they get used to it. They understand their plays better. They don't really need to think as much. So, I mean, it's a small thing, but I do think it helps. I think it helps to a degree. And it is a passing league. Look, this is a league where your ability to pass and your ability to shut down the opponent's passing game correlate strongly with your ability to win. And when you have corners who can go out and shut down the opposition, it's an enormous deal. And then one other thing I'll go back to is, I talked about how most passing games are run through wide receivers, and that's true. And the reason for that is, listen, most of the time the play is designed to get the ball to one specific player. And if you force the quarterback to come off his first read, it makes the offense way less effective, because first of all, the quarterback gets less comfortable. He doesn't get to throw the ball to his go-to guy, which is typically the receiver the play is designed for. But also, it's tougher to make your second read, and if you can cover the top two receivers on the other team, it's tougher to get to your third read, and most of the time your third read's a check down and it's going to go for a minimal gain. So the Jets' ability to man up with other teams' top receivers, that's a big advantage for them. And it's one of those things that I think will keep them in a lot of games. And I think it's one of the things when people ask, is the defense going to regress? Well, it may regress a bit. I think that sometimes, it's when you improve as much as the Jets did from year to year, typically there is a degree of regression. But I don't think there's going to be a great regret. Even if the Jets aren't as the fifth best defense in the league, I still think there's a good chance they'll be in the top 10 if everybody stays healthy. Because when you can man up against other teams' receivers, it just makes life so much easier on you. But of course, the corners are not the only important part of the defense. The defensive line and their ability to get after the passer is also a critical component of what Robert Saleh and the Jets do. And as we continue on this Friday episode of the Locked On Jets podcast, we'll talk about the strength that is the Jets' defensive line. Today's episode of Locked On Jets is brought to you by Built Bar. It's the weekend. You're probably looking for a great snack. Well, look no further than Built Bar. These bars are healthy and they taste amazing. Let's start with why they taste amazing. All bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. They also have unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and cookies and cream. But not only are these bars amazing tasting, they maintain amazing macros, and they're healthy. Most bars only have 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait to get a box. For years, you've been hearing me talk about ordering your Built Bars at Built.com, which of course you can still do. But now, if you want them a little quicker, you can run to your local Walmart or Sam's Club. So head to your nearest Walmart today, walk to the pharmacy section, and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. They have 4-bar boxes of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. Or if you're close to Sam's Club, run in and grab a 13-bar box of hit flavors like brownie batter puff or churro puff. And of course, again, you can still order your favorites at Built.com. There's so many different ways to get your Built Bars. You just pick one, and you can thank me later. Thank you for making Locked On Jets your first listen every day. Big shout out to you everydayers who tune into the podcast Monday through Friday. It's a daily podcast covering the New York Jets. We have new episodes 5 days a week. So thank you for tuning in. Today we're talking about the strengths on the Jets roster, the things that will lead them to success. And in the first segment, we talked about the corner play, which to me is like the number one strength if we get past the quarterback. I think also on defense, even my hierarchy is a little bit different than Robert Saleh's hierarchy. I think Saleh would put defensive line 1, corners 2. I'd go corners 1, but I'd go defensive line 2. And I think the Jets have built kind of what Robert Saleh's looking for on the defensive line. Now, the Jets finished tied for 7th in sacks last season in the NFL with 45, and that was only 3 behind Baltimore and New Orleans, who both finished with 48. So they were 3 sacks away from being top 5 in sack totals. And it's a bit of a unique defensive line because it's anchored by a defensive tackle. There are defensive tackles who are the best players on their lines, but for the most part, when we're talking about especially getting to the quarterback, more often it's an edge rusher, it's a defensive end. So it's a bit of a unique type of defense where the go-to guy on this defensive line is a tackle, and that's Quinnen Williams, who obviously just had his breakout season. But he's surrounded by a number of very good players on this line. And when we talk about what's more important, corner and defensive line, I'd probably lean more towards corner in today's NFL, and that's something I've kind of changed my mind about over the last couple of years. But I think that it's in some levels, if you have both, it becomes kind of an academic argument because the two help each other. They're not competing against each other. They help each other. If you have corners who can cover and, you know, lock a receiver down for 3 seconds, it gives the defensive line extra time to get to the quarterback. And if the defensive line can generate pressure in less than 3 seconds, it's less time the corners need to cover. So in an ideal world, you have both. And fortunately, the Jets have both. And I always think that on a great defensive line, it has to be anchored by at least one great player. And the Jets have that in Quinnen Williams. I'd love to have 2 great players. You know, I think that there's still an opportunity for somebody to emerge. And you know, will that be a Jermaine Johnson this year? You'd like to see it. Maybe does Carl Lawson have a big season in him? Somebody to go with Quinnen Williams. That's something you'd like. But there's just a lot of good players on this line. There's John Franklin Myers, who's really, what a success story John Franklin Myers has been. A guy who was a waiver claim a couple of years ago, one of Joe Douglas's first addition to the Jets. He started off as a good part-time player, kind of a situational player, and has really blossomed into a very good defensive end. And I think he may see more time on a defensive tackle this year. Carl Lawson, a guy who's been a very solid player throughout his career. Quinton Jefferson, who is a signing. We'll see how good he is, but he's got a track record of generating some pressure from the inside. And then guys with young guys who've got some ability. Bryce Huff, a guy I talked about yesterday, who I would like to see on the Jets for a long time to come. I hope the Jets will work out a longer-term deal with Bryce Huff. And then guys, more recent picks, I just mentioned Jermaine Johnson, even a Michael Clemens. We'll see how Will McDonald does this year. I think Will McDonald is more of a long-term pick, but Jets have a lot of guys who can get to the quarterback, and that's what Robert Saleh wants. You know, Saleh is a guy who I think there's always this a bit of a balance in the NFL because defensive line is one of the few spots on defense, maybe the only spot on defense, where you actually do have to rotate. Your linebackers stay on the field 100% of the snaps. Your safeties stay on the field 100% of the snaps. Your corners stay on the field 100% of the snaps. Yeah, you may rotate guys in and out based on what sub packages there are, what matchups the opponents are putting, the personnel groupings your opponents are putting on the field. I mean, there may be a part-time linebacker or a part-time corner or a part-time safety, but your starters tend to stay on the field no matter what. defensive line's different. It's a grueling position. It's interesting because offensive linemen stay on the field the entire game, but for whatever reason, and maybe it's just because maybe it's more grueling on the defensive side, but on every team, defensive linemen need to rotate out at some points. The question is whether you as a coach believe in keeping your best guys on the field for longer, or whether you like rotating them out more so that you keep them fresh. And Sal is definitely on the side of rotating them out more, which means you need a deep defensive line. It means you need a lot of guys who can get to the quarterback. And I named you the guys the Jets have who can get to the quarterback. And one of the nice things about this, the current people running the Jets, opposed to past people, you know, I'm thinking Mike Maccagnan, I'm thinking John Idzik, even Mike Tannenbaum, the past GMs really did not focus enough on pass rushers. And it's weird to say because even like Rex Ryan and Todd Bowles, when they were the coach of the Jets, and even Greg Williams when he was running the Jets defense under Adam Gase, these are guys who really like to generate pressure, who like focus on generating pressure more than anything. But I don't know that they really valued edge rusher when we're talking about either rush linebacker or defensive end. And part of that is that all three of those guys were big blitzers. So I think maybe their philosophy was we're going to generate pressure based on scheme by sending guys from angles that the offense isn't expecting. But I like the fact that the Jets are now focused on generating more of a pass rush. This is the type of thing that it's one of the things how you build a good defense in this league. I think the Jets' run defense was actually kind of underrated last year. I hear a lot of Jets fans act like the run defense was bad. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible by any stretch of the imagination. I think the Jets are absolutely right to prioritize their pass defense, though. I think the pass defense is clearly more important than the run defense, and it seems like that's where the Jets are at because they've prioritized on this defense corner, and they've prioritized pass rush. Now, head here on the Locked On Jets podcast, we'll turn our attention to the offensive side of the ball. Obviously, the Jets have Aaron Rodgers there, but they also have a couple of key players that they might be able to run this offense through. A couple guys entering their second season. I think you know who they are, but we'll talk a little bit more about Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall ahead on this Friday episode of the Locked On Jets podcast. This is the Locked On Jets podcast here on this Friday. We're talking about the strengths of the Jets roster. You know, it's funny. In the last segment, I talked about the pass rush, and for years, you know, in the early days of this podcast, I kept complaining that the Jets were not prioritizing the pass rush enough. There are lots of things the Jets did not prioritize enough years ago. And one of the things that was always a frustration was also on the offensive side of the ball, they never really had a go-to type of guy. They never had a guy that you felt like they could run the offense through. I mean, their best players, their best skill players some of those years, I mean, it was Robbie Anderson, who's wasn't a bad player, but certainly not the type of guy who should be a go-to guy on an NFL offense. And finally, it feels like because of the draft class of 2022, the Jets have two guys they could potentially run the offense through, and that's Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall, the rookie of the year on offense, and the guy who very well may have been the rookie of the year had he not gotten injured through the midway part of the season. One's a running back, Breece Hall. One's a wide receiver, Garrett Wilson. And, you know, it felt like the Jets never really were able to put the two of them together last season. You know, week two, Garrett Wilson had a huge game against Cleveland where he had a couple touchdowns, including the game winner. He went over 100 yards. Then he kind of disappeared from view for a few weeks, and then Breece Hall kind of took center stage. Then Hall got injured, and Garrett Wilson stepped up again. At the point Hall got injured, Wilson was kind of like having an okay rookie season. He had that one signature game against Cleveland, but he wasn't having a dominant-type season. He wasn't really in the running for Rookie of the Year. Then he just kind of took off after Hall's injury. And part of it may have been due to the issues the Jets were having at quarterback, where I don't know that the offensive coaching staff really trusted Zach Wilson, and probably rightly so. But you've got essentially now have two pieces who could be go-to guys. Now, I think that's partially good, because I think Breece is going to need to be dealt with delicately heading into this season. I think in the early stages of this season, the Jets are going to want to be very careful with Breece. They don't want to overwork him coming off a serious injury. I think there's a good chance if you follow players who come off serious knee injuries, it's going to take a little bit of time for him to rebuild that explosion. Just because a player's healthy enough to play doesn't mean he's necessarily going to be 100% right off the bat. And I think the goal will be to get Breece healthy for the late part of the season. And that's where the Jets really missed Breece a year ago. But I think having Garrett around, and obviously having Aaron Rodgers around helps with this, but having Garrett around means that Breece is not going to have to be the go-to guy. He's not going to have to carry the entire load on the offense. So maybe the Jets can lean on Garrett a little bit earlier, lean on their passing game, and then as the weather gets cold, they can go to Breece. And, you know, I don't need to tell you the dynamics of having a great running back and a great wide receiver. It's like cliche at this point. You know, if you run the ball really well, it forces the other team to put an extra safety into the box, and that means the defense has to simplify its coverages, so one-on-one matchups for receiver. Or if the defense is focused on stopping a receiver and has to throw double teams at that receiver. It opens up the box for the running back to take over. You know, it's not that hard to figure out how these guys can complement each other, but it's nice to have two of them. I've watched the Jets, they really haven't had one of these guys. So I've been complaining about it nonstop. So it's nice for the Jets to actually have two of these guys that they might be able to turn to. And we'll see. I'd love to see the Jets get another one of these guys. And I think one of the lessons you should learn from watching the NFL is that you can never have enough offensive talent. You can never have enough playmakers. So I hope as we move forward, the Jets are able to continue to layer on these offensive playmakers to help these two out. But it's nice to have two guys you can lean on. And again, part of it's like it does give you a degree of injury insurance. And I'm not just talking about how the Jets bring Breece along this year. I'm also talking about last year when Hall got injured. They had Garrett Wilson who was ready to step into the lineup. And of course, while the season did not end the way the Jets were hoping it would end, and obviously the offense still struggled, you can still see that having a go-to guy on offense at least kept the things moving to a certain extent, even with all the other issues surrounding them. And, you know, look, this offense is not a complete offense. There are going to be some areas where the Jets are going to need unexpected guys to step up. But when you start with two go-to guys, or at least one go-to guy at the start of the season, and then the second one maybe as it gets healthy through the season, again, it raises the floor of your potential performance. It means that you can expect that you're hopefully not going to be at the bottom of the league, and which is what the Jets have been at for a number of years. So as long as both these guys are healthy, and if Breece continues to recover and come back strong, then you'll have a real shot. And that goes without saying, especially with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. Anyway, that's all for today's episode. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day is our motto. As always, if you enjoy the show, hit the subscribe button where you're watching or listening so that you'll never miss an episode. If you're listening on a podcast source, please give the show a 5-star review. If you're watching on YouTube, give this episode a big thumbs up. These things help the podcast out, help other Jets fans find us. Hope you have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back on Monday to talk more Jets.